This is the evening of September the 24th. Brother Jimmy Statcliff and Sister Statcliff, David and Debra, way across the stream tonight in Germany, brokenhearted. I'm sending a few messages to you, Brother Julius and Sister Statcliff, David, and also to Grandpa and Grandma. Hasn't been long since I was talking to you on the phone. Doesn't seem possible that things can happen just as quick as they do. You know, I remind you, Jesus said, be prepared, for we know not what minute or hour. It's been a terrible day for us, Brother Julius, Sister Statcliff, because of our sorrows for you, how we feel so sorry for you, and knowing your enemy, it's just so much that we can do. But we want to express to you our love, gratitude. Around home today, bring everything to look at for something she always gave us. I went in my dream room, so I hung that rifle you gave me. I looked at me on my study desk, and that was a rock that David had found out and made a Bible booking and never had to call. Went into the room to pick up the telephone, and this morning, today, when I was talking to you and praying, that telephone set me out on the phone machine that you all bought for. It's everywhere. It looks like it is. I guess it's the cause of the sorrow that I had in my heart for you. My heart goes out to you. And this morning, Brother Julius, as I prayed yesterday afternoon and last night, I'd sleep a little while and wake up and wonder, Lord, will you speak to me? Then about 6:30, Mimi got up to go into the kitchen to get the children's breakfast. And when she got up, and just as she left the room, I heard a voice spoken into my heart and said, the words that I told you, don't you be afraid, this is the hand of God. Then it brought a little comfort to me to know that whatever it does, it's something that Satan gets up on you. It's the plan and program of God. Brother and Sister Spencer, how can I make you see that now? No more than you could. I went in the room there to pray for little Sharon, and God refused to hear me. I couldn't understand that and how that would be his program. Look what that little story has done. About thousands of Christ. 2 weeks ago, I was coming down off of the hillside where I went one afternoon in the woods to hunt. And I was sitting up on the hillside thinking of time when I was a little boy and used to squirrel hunt. And I thought, well, things have changed a lot since then. But look at the sorrow. If you go through it, would you do it again? You had to go back over life. I said, yes, I would. First, I said, I don't believe I would because I'd have to go through the sorrow of seeing hope, my first life grow, and go sharing in there in a minute. Something said, but look at the thousands of souls you've been saved. I said, God, yes, I'd go through it again. Anything that you're listening to, both sacraments, it said, you know, in the scripture, like Job, when he had all these troubles and everything, everyone that cometh to God must be chastened and tried. And Job, in all of his suffering and in his troubles and temptations, lost all of his children, all of his wealth and everything. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. God straightened everything up for him. Did you ever think there, Brother Sister Sackler? He said, and he restored to him his children. After he restored the camels and the sheep and everything, and he restored his children. Did you ever notice where them, think of where those children were? They were in glory waiting for him. Remember, he had made a sacrifice and had for his children. Provincially, they might have seen him, he said. When Sister Sackler told me this morning that the little baby had got good to put his hands on his thighs and praise the Lord. Now that was making the sacrifice. Christ made it, and he was teaching that baby as a little bitty thing. It's in glory tonight, waiting for you. Brother G, I just got a little tape here I want to send you. I want you to know that we're thinking there if we could get dollars over or something, we just don't know what to do. Do you need to leave, brother? Just let us know. I want to make a confession here, something that just recently happened. I've always been afraid of death, Julius. Always afraid to die because I didn't want to become a spiritual body. I thought I would only be a human being and I wanted to remain that way. And I wanted to live to see the coming of the Lord Jesus. And here a few weeks ago, I was laying in the bed one morning after coming in from a great meeting, and I thought, well, my wife's asleep, so I just study about if I have been 51 now, could I possibly live to see the coming of the Lord? And just then I heard something say to me, just keep pressing on, the reward's at the end of the road. Keep pressing on. Now, those Jews, I don't want to call it a translation, although I believe it was, but I'll call it a vision. Something happened. Now, I left where my body, where I was at. Now, coming to a place looked like they had a little hill-like. Coming down through there was tens of thousands of young women. They were all running to me, and throwing their arms around me, and all of my precious brothers. Well, I thought, I don't understand this. And something said, this is perfect love, what you're speaking of. Now, we realize, and I know that no human being, male and female, can put their arms on one another without having a human sensation. But those Jews, it wasn't so there. There's no human sensation there at all. It's not like a mother hugging a baby or something like that. It was beyond that. It was perfect. It was beyond perfect. I don't know how to express it. Then I heard, look like a voice coming from the other way, and I looked, here come tens of thousands of men. The women was all young, and the men were all young. The women had long hair down around their waist and was wearing white dresses and barefooted. The young men seemed to have kind of shaggy hair down around their neck. I thought, what is this all about? Just then they lifted me up and set me on a great high place. And I said, have I died? Is this it? And just then he said, this is perfect love, what you taught. And I said, why would you put me up like this? And they said, because in earth he was a leader. I said, well, if I pass on, I want to see Jesus. And they said, you can't see him now. He's a little higher, but someday he'll come. And so then when he comes, then he'll come to you and you'll be judged by the gospel you preached. I said, well, then did St. Paul have to be judged the same way stand before his crowd? Said, yes. I said, well, I preached the same thing he did, and meeting the voices sound like ringing out the same time. We are aware of that. And I looked and I thought, what is this about? Just then a voice said, you have been gathered to your people, just like Jacob was gathered to my people. I thought, what is this? And I said, you mean I can't see Jesus at this time? He said, no, not now. I said, we're here in this form. They had bodies because I could feel their arms around me. And they were real people. And I said, well, this is wonderful. And I was afraid of this. And then I said, I don't understand this, but this is wonderful. And just then it said, there's a young, beautiful woman come up. Put her arm around me. She said, my darling brother. Now, seeing my first wife coming, I thought, well, of course, she died when she's just a girl, 22 years old. Now, well, she looked natural. And so I said, maybe she'll call me her husband when she gets here. And when her time came up, put her arm around me, she called me her darling brother. Then she put her arm around another girl there and said, isn't it wonderful he's with her? Well, I didn't know what to make of it. And just then, this young, beautiful woman running through her arms around me, and another one, he said, I said, is this my people or all these bandits? He said, no, this is your convert. Trophies of your ministry. There was millions of them. And I said, trophies on my knees. Yes, said, that woman, that beautiful woman that just put her arms around me, young and beautiful, said, do you know how old she was when you led her to Christ? I said, I had no idea, but she's past 90. Now she'll never be old anymore. She'll never be sick or have sorrow no more. And there we all were, just perfect. And I thought, wow, this is a most wonderful thing to know that we gather into a place like this and stays in a body like that. I thought, this is a glorious thing. So then I thought, well, this is beyond anything that I could think of. It was just such a beautiful place and everything so perfect, perfect love, perfect health, sin could never be there. There could be no death, there could be no sorrow, there could be nothing. There was no yesterday, no tomorrow, and there was no tiredness. Everything is just perfect. I thought, this is wonderful. And just then I looked, and coming down across the hill, I saw my old dog, my old Trix. He put me through school. I hunt with him at night time, and he, you know, kept the possums and coons and things, and I just fell for it, and that's my old dog coming. And just then, I looked, and here come a little old horse. Now, the minister once said to me not long ago when I was returning, and said, you think the animals will be in heaven? I said, yes, sir. He said, where do you get that from Scripture? I said, where's the horse that's taking Elijah up into heaven on that chariot? Where's the horse that Jesus will be riding in earth upon a white horse and vesture dipped in blood? When will it be when the wolf and lamb shall feed together and lay down and the little child shall lead them? When will all these be when the ox and the lion eat straw together and lie down together? When will all these things take place? And then, when it got through saying that, then he was convinced that it was true. Then, there's Judas, old dog, he got poisoned. And when I buried him, I said, Fitz, if there's a resting place for doggies, you'll sure be there. And here he come up and licked me on the hand. The old prince, my horse, came up and put his neck across mine. Just then I heard a voice speak out of heaven and said, all that you ever loved and all that ever loved you, God has given you. And you're all waiting here for the coming of the Lord. Then I felt real strange. I heard a voice and said, keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Something happened. And I looked back towards the bed where I could see my body, and I was moving around. A few moments, I was back normal again. But Judas, that did something to me. I've never been the same since. I don't believe I ever could to know that our gracious Heavenly Father let me look up past the curtain of time to see a man where there's this imperfect imperfection that we live in now has been changed. And we're perfect. Nothing to worry about no more, Brother Judas. Just waiting for that glorious hour that when our God and Savior shall appear. Brother Julius, I don't know where I was. Wherever it was isn't far away, because I can look back and see myself. Wherever that is, your baby is tonight. She's no more a teeny baby as she was. A young lady, beautiful. Maybe looks like her mother. Some glorious day you'll see her again. Deborah, honey, David, little sister's not dead. She's sleeping. Jesus, she's waiting for the time that when you'll all be together again, when the gathered with your people, when the great Stadscliff family comes together, the Peters and all that's associated in your family, you'll see little sister there again. I know how you feel, honey. I know how I felt when I gave up my little girl. Not long after that, I saw a vision of her. Beautiful. You'll read it in my life story. And I'll be with her again some glorious day when the family's gathered together. And then together we'll meet wherever we are scattered across the world. You know, it's the order of the resurrection. They which are asleep, and that's dead. Christians don't die, you know. But send it in our way, dead. Dead means separation. Death, brother, means separation. Then, them which are asleep shall not prevent those which are awake at the coming of the Lord. For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. You notice the order of the resurrection? We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, 2 Thessalonians, I believe about the 5th chapter, shall not prevent or hinder those that are asleep. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And notice the next. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. See, we meet them first. Now I wonder how God in His great mercy, when He'd be worshipped perfectly there, and when He knew that, He knew that we got there first to worship Him, and then we'll look around, wonder where a baby is and where a mother is and where this one and that one. But you see, He lets us meet one another first. So when you go up to worship before the Lord on that day, she'll be with you. See, we've not prevent or hinder those which are asleep, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Then we meet one another first, and then stand before Him to crown Him the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, what a worship. Now see those precious ones. I preached and labored through the years, my loved ones, and meet them all, and then together, hand in hand, stand in His presence. Won't we worship Him? To know when we take off our crowns and lay them before His feet and say, if it's by Thy grace, Lord, we couldn't marry the thing, but You brought us all together again with eternal life. We could never be separated no more, never have no more heartaches, never will there be a funeral service among us, never will there be flowers thrown along in the graveyard, never will there be a amulet or no medicine to be taken. There will be nothing but just living with the Lord, with each other, to enjoy the eternal life. And of course, that's for eternity. I'm waiting, watching for the coming of that glad day, that when Jesus will come out. May God's rich blessing be with you. Now this morning, it was rather shocking. After you said to me yesterday, Sister Stadscliff, on the phone, about praying for the baby, I had a real strange, odd feeling. I went in and prayed and come back out and took the Bible in my hand. I said, Lord, could You even show me a scripture to start with? When it opened up, it opened to that fly leaf that's in the middle of a Bible that says, death. Record of death. Then I prayed again, and I don't remember just where the scripture was, but something about a death of someone else. I never opened it no more. I went to the woods, and later I found out the baby was even dead before you called. And then this morning, when these words came, do not rebuke this. This is the hand of the Lord. You know, many times when I'm called to a case, I'll stand up there if it's sickness and say, sickness, I withstand you. I adjure thee or rebuke thee in the name of Jesus. That, like the little boy raised in Finland and other places, you know, withstanding it, because that's when God has told me to do it. Then it's not my word that rebukes it. It's the word of the Lord. And then this morning when I was speaking, and last night speaking the word of the Lord for you, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, rebuke this not, for it is the hand of the Lord. So sweet and kind. So, as I said this morning to you, Sister Stadcliff, sleep on, little one, take your rest. God has called, He knows what's best. And confine yourself unto the will of God. Humble yourself under His mighty hand. My heart bleeds for you as I think of you away from home, way across over there tonight in a strange land, among strange people. Know no one. And your little precious darling gone on. But how God knows and how to take care of these situations, how He knows what to do. He knows what's best. And Sister Sackett, the way I thought about my little share and the way children are today, maybe God had to say this. I had to break your heart for a little bit, Julia, Gloria, David, Deborah, Grandpa and Grandma, and all your associates. I'll have to break your heart for a little bit. But you love that baby. I never give it to you. I just lend it to you for a little while. Bring a little joy in your home. I've got to have it up in me now. If I leave it there, Satan will make a great stumble out of it, and you'll lose it. Well, I can keep it better than you can. I'll just bring it up in me. Let it stay up here until you come, or you can't lose it no more. God bless you, Brother Julius, and your family. Anytime I can be a favor to you, do anything for you, if the Lord would ever reveal anything more to me, I'll certainly be glad to send it right to you. And I'll write you a letter pretty soon. And I thought this tape, you could hear it, might make you, you know, be a little closer to us, and we'd be a little closer together. May the Lord ever richly bless you, my precious brother, and comfort you now in this great and dark hour that you're going through. and write me and let me know how you're getting along, and I'll be praying for you until I see you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ ever be with you. I'm going to have a little prayer before this little tape runs out. Lord Jesus, give peace and satisfaction and rest to my precious friends who this tape is designated to, the Statsworth family, the Petersons. May they know that you've called, and you know what's the best thing to do. Grant it, Lord, I commit them unto you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.